Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So what's the scariest storm that you've ever experienced? Maybe you can think of that in your mind. Now, I got to tell you about a movie that I saw that involved a storm. There's a movie that I saw that was probably the weirdest movie I've ever seen in my entire life. Maybe some of you have seen this, probably not, but it's a movie called Sharknado. Has anybody ever seen or heard of Sharknado? Oh my goodness. We won't go into the details. You know, there's B movies and then there's D minus movies. That was definitely there. But why do I bring this up? Well, they had Sharknados. And what is a Sharknado? Well, put the two words tornado and shark together and you have a Sharknado. Technically, they're water spouts that came over the ocean and sucked up a whole bunch of sharks. And then what happened is the Sharknado went over the land. It spewed the sharks out onto the land. The cities flooded and the sharks went through the streets and these were man-eating sharks and it wreaked chaos on a city in California. And the whole premise of the movie was, how are we going to stop these Sharknados? Now, I know that you've probably not been in a Sharknado. If you have, I want to hear about it. But that's probably one of the worst storms that I can think of, a Sharknado. But maybe as a child, you remember that thunderstorm as you were a kid cowering under the covers as you heard the crash of thunder and the bolts of lightning you saw from your window. Or maybe some of you remember the Columbus Day storm, about 1962, 116-mile-per-hour winds that rushed through Portland. Here at the Oregon College of Education, now known as Western Oregon University, Campbell Tower went whoosh, and fell down because of the massive winds of the Columbus Day storm. And more recently, what have we heard about in the news? Some pretty serious storms. Storms can be scary. Martin Luther found himself in a storm. It was a scary storm for him. It was a thunderstorm. Martin Luther was on his way back from school. He'd already completed some education. His father Hans and his mother Margaret wanted him to have a good education. They were in the copper mining industry and they were doing decently, but they wanted Luther to have an education and go on and be a lawyer. Now, however we feel about lawyers, a lawyer can be a lucrative position. So Luther is off studying to be a lawyer. He's on his way back from school. He's caught in a horrible thunderstorm. Bolt of lightning flashes nearby, and he's freaked out. He is scared, and he calls out to the patron saint of miners, Saint Anne, and he says, "Saint Anne, if you save me from this storm, I will become a monk." Now we might ask ourselves, well, it's a thunderstorm. Why would you agree to be a monk all of a sudden? Well, you see, along with this thunderstorm that Luther was experiencing, there were some storms inside of Luther. There were thoughts and feelings and wonderings whirling around like some kind of storm inside of him, for he was wrestling with guilt and with fear and shame. He'd heard about this holy God demanding perfection, and he wondered, and he knew in his own heart that he could not live up to God's standards, and so he did what he could to try his very hardest, and so he made good on his promise. He went off, and he went and became a monk. Now, you can become a monk, and then you can become a monk. Those of you that are familiar with the military know that you have your different branches of the military, and then you have your special forces. Well, the monk order that Luther joined, the Augustinian order of the Black Cloister, was the special forces of monks. These were guys that took life seriously. And Luther was in the top of his class. Luther took all of his thoughts and feelings seriously. And the confessors, you know, they'd go and they confess their sins to someone. The confessors got tired of Luther coming to them, and they said, "Luther, come back when you have something big to confess." Because Luther knew he had a very sensitive conscience, and every little thing that bothered him, he would bring before the confessor in a desire to be holy, in a desire to do what was right. In addition to that, Luther spent hours and hours and hours studying and reading and studying and reading. And then he, in order to try to make penance for himself, he would take a whip and begin to whip himself. He would go sometimes and sleep without blankets in order to punish his body, to purge the sin from him. And oh, we can only imagine the storms that rose, that were inside Luther. And that can happen in our lives. We can have storms that rage, whether external or internal, and we are desiring refuge. We're desiring a relief. Maybe you've experienced certain storms along life's way. Sometimes those can be seemingly small, and yet they show just how irritated we can become as a result. My mother, for example, has dealt with a very interesting struggle in her life lately, and she knows I'm sharing this. But let me just say this. Appliances are great when they work. When your refrigerator goes out, that's a real a challenge. And for the past, I think, 5 weeks now, my mother has been without a refrigerator, trying to get the details when you're working with a company, and they're like, well, we don't know if we want to give you a new one. So 5 weeks later, she's using this small mini fridge that she's borrowing, but it's been a real struggle. Maybe you've experienced something like that. It's not maybe a big deal in the scope of reality, but nonetheless, it's a struggle, and it's a frustration, and it stirs you up inside. But then there can be the big storms that we experience in life. Those of you that are on the prayer line know that lately we've had quite a few prayers that have been offered for various different struggles and challenges. Can you imagine the person that is struggling with cancer and they think that they're free and all of a sudden they find out that there's another spot of cancer in their body and how frustrating all of a sudden the turmoil that happens, not only in the different appointments that must be made and the arrangements that affect the family, but then also the inner struggle and the turmoil, the questions and the wonderings. You can think back on those times when you've been in a major storm in your life, or maybe right now you are in a major storm in your life. And you're longing for relief. You're longing for a refuge. You don't want some flimsy refuge that's going to fall over at the drop of a hat. You don't want a sandcastle when there's a hurricane, but you want something that is substantial. And what we need is a mighty fortress. Martin Luther came to know about the mighty fortress who is his God as he went through some of his storms. As we know, Luther, as he rediscovered for himself the message of the gospel, it was an incredible refuge and relief from the storms and from the attacks of Satan poking at his conscience. Luther was under the impression that somehow he must earn his favor with God, but when he came to know the beautiful message of the gospel that Jesus, when he went to the cross, paid it and paid it in full, what a relief. What a refuge. He discovered the wonderful message that we hear about in our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 3 today. It says these words, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, as a sacrifice by his blood to be received by faith." And so Luther found this relief, and he wanted to share this relief, and he realized that there was something going on. There was something wrong. There was a storm going on inside of the church. Luther did not mean to stir up trouble. Luther was not trying to break away as some kind of rebel from the church, but what he noticed was errors, falsehoods, lies that were taking people away from the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember Martin Luther and the 95 theses or statements that he pounded on the castle door. He was desiring to debate and discuss these things in a collegial manner, wanting to bring forward the problems, the corruption of the councils and the papacy at the time. And one of his big sticking points, one of the things that really bugged him that was talked about in the Sunday school today, were the sale of indulgences. Basically, a piece of paper that proclaimed that your loved one could now be free from purgatory, that place of purification. And there was a mighty salesman by the name of Tetzel, Tetzel was quite the salesman with his pitch to something of the effect of, when the coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory will spring. It was a lucrative business, and Luther realized that this was a problem. Along the way, he kept writing and discovering and searching and wrestling inside, because Luther didn't want to rebel against the church, and so he's questioning, going, am I right? Is it possible that I could be right? But he came to the point where he was challenged at the Diet of Worms. Diet of Worms. He was asked to recant, to take back what he had said and written. Luther thought about it. He asked for time, and then after he came back, he said these words: "Unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of the popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen." As a result, Luther was excommunicated. He was pushed out of the church, and he was in danger now as a heretic. He could have been killed at any point, but some of his friends actually kidnapped him. I'm sure Luther was wondering what in the world was going on at the time, but Luther was kidnapped and then brought to a place called the Wartburg Castle. The Wartburg Castle, which is in Eisenach, Germany, an impressive fortress. So Luther found a refuge in the Wartburg Castle. But more than that, Luther found a refuge in the amazing, mighty fortress, which is his God. Martin Luther loved the 46th Psalm, which speaks of God as our refuge and strength. He would say to his friend Philip Melanchthon sometimes, "Come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm," which starts out with these words: "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." You can picture this image of a fortress that is standing tall in the midst of the waves and the wind around it, but the fortress is immovable, and it is your God who is your refuge and your strength. Luther said about the 46th Psalm, "We sing this psalm to the praise of God because he is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends his church and his word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin." As we've already sung today in that wonderful hymn, "A Mighty Fortress," and as we will hear again, a mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that hath us now o'ertaken. The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. But yet we have God's protection from the storms. Now, while Luther was inside the Wartburg Castle, he had the opportunity not only to take refuge on the inside of this fortress, but he also had a chance to take refuge in God's wonderful word. For if you remember, it was during this time, while Luther was in the Wartburg Castle, that he translated the scriptures from the Latin into the vernacular, into the German, so that other people could hear the wonderful promises that were given in God's word about God as the refuge and strength. In the second part of this wonderful passage of Scripture, it says this: "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And Luther, in God's word, found the comfort of the promises of God, that comfort that God is with us. What do we hear in the scriptures? We hear about Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God is our refuge and strength. The Lord of hosts is with us. And if you look at the letters, even in your hymnal, the Lord in your Psalms, you'll notice that the word Lord is capitalized with small caps. And what that means, it represents the Hebrew word Yahweh. So Yahweh, I am who I am, is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. And picture this in your mind, the presence of God, the one who created the entire universe, the one who created every atom in your body, the one who controls and commands the universe, who has the angels at his command, is your refuge, is your fortress. The storms may look big, but they are no match for God, who is your refuge and your strength. Luther found comfort that the city of God will not be moved. And you see, as the church, we are as the city of God, and the church will not be moved because God is in the midst of her. As our closing hymn in the third verse says, though with a scornful wonder this world sees her oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Matthew chapter 16 says, the gates of hell will not prevail against them. Luther said about God's word, Luther said this about God's word. He said, infinite potentates have raged against this book and sought to destroy and uproot it. King Alexander the Great, the princes of Egypt and of Babylon, and monarchs of Persia, of Greece, and of Rome, the emperors Julius and Augustus, but they nothing prevailed. They are all gone and vanished, while the book remains and will remain forever and ever, perfect and entire as it was declared at the first. People have tried to destroy God's word, which speaks of his refuge for you, but they have failed over and over again. The fortress remains. God's promises for you remain. We can take comfort in this, that there will come a time when all will be made right, when all the storms will cease. The third part of the psalm, Psalm 46, verse 9, says, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Can you picture in your mind a battlefield after the battle? Maybe those of you that have visited some of the Civil War sites back east can imagine in your mind the silence after a battle, or if you've watched Lord of the Rings and you've seen the scene afterwards, there will come a time when all wars, conflict, racial tensions, fill in the blank, all of it will cease and there will be peace. The enemies of God will be vanquished. It is Jesus, our Lord, when he was in the boat with the tossing of the storm and the winds of the waves, said to the waves, silence, be still. And the storm obeyed, and there was calm. Be still and know that I am God. The storms will cease. But as we hear those words, be still and know that I am God, I believe we can also take them to heart, because there are storms that rage inside of us. There are things that we wrestle with, and there is a time to just be still, to stop wrestling, to stop squirming, and just stop and listen to the promises which your God gives to you and the promises which he keeps. Be still and know that he is God. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. You are forgiven. Whatever taunts Satan may give to you, they mean nothing because you are forgiven. Whatever storms you may be going through, remember this, that in the midst of this, you have the mighty fortress which is our God. For the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.